Brian, so you're not gonna chair it tonight, or
well, they can't really see me, so they won't let me chair.
Okay, no, that's fine. Just
all right.
Means you're here.
Yes,
no problem. I'll call
Thank
the
you,
meeting
Dean.
To order. Approval of the agenda as circulated.
I move.
So moved by Brian, seconder by Reed. Question. Motion for acceptance.
Raise your
right hand. Opposed? Perfect.
Oh, mine is up.
Approval of the minutes for the May 9th meeting.
Move.
So moved by Brian. Councillor Pam Hoobley, seconded. Question? All those
Question?
In favor? Opposed?
Hands up.
Motion
okay.
carried. Business arising from the minutes. Just a second here. I'm trying to get mine up because I'm not on my Wi-Fi here. It's not leaving me on. Computers and I are only so operate so well. Okay, yes. I'm having a brain fart here tonight. 4.1, fire scene security update. Chris?
So I was in contact with the commissionaire the person that looks after procurement and contracts, and I'm waiting for her to get back to me with their signature on it so we can sign it. So I was in contact with her last week, and I left her an email today. I haven't heard back anything today from her, so maybe I'll just give her a jingle tomorrow and see where she's making out with that, because they needed to change a couple little things onto it. Like I mentioned before, an update from their insurance certificate saying that they had adequate insurance. And there was one other thing they had to sign off on, and then we should have a copy of it with their signatures so that we can sign off onto it. So that's all it really is right now. There's nothing else really holding it up.
So it's just a matter of a little bit of time left.
Just to get the signatures in place, and then it's good to go. The policies and everything like that and the procedures are all in place for it. Once the signatures are there, then we can roll out to the fire departments. And if they need good. Training or want training on it, we can do that as well so everybody has an idea how to operate and use it if they need to.
That can all be done at a Lumberg regional meeting, maybe.
Yeah, we could do some of it there, and if they're not present, then we could do like a one-on-one or get them together in a room somewhere and do it or whatever.
Yeah,
it's not a real hard process, but there's just certain things and forms that need to be filled out.
Okay,
if they have to enact a security on a scene.
Sounds good. 4.2, mutual aid agreement. Again, Chris.
So I'm hopefully not sound like a broken record tonight. So the town... A couple of the towns are having issues with the way the wording is in it for some reason. I don't understand why. So I talked to Alex about it, and he said, let's do it this way. So if we haven't got an answer from the towns, I left another email with them to say, if you guys are okay with the document the way it is, sign it. If not, we'll scratch them off of that document, allow MODL's fire service to enter into that agreement with the mutual aid process and get it done. And then we can put a rider on the contract for the towns to be incorporated into it. So
okay.
That'll speed things up and get it finally done.
Okay, Councilor Greek.
Is it all three towns that?
No.
No, it wasn't. So the town of Lunenburg's got a new CAO, I guess. What do they call them in town, CAO? So they have a new CAO there, and she wasn't really aware of all this, so I just updated her onto it. And she's got to go back and look to see if Council approved them.
Yeah, they actually. Excuse me, you can't see me. I can't put my hand up either. Actually,
yeah, you should have a little hand there and more button.
You should
hand.
You should. Have
yes, I see it. Sorry.
So if you click on that, well, there you go. So we can see your hand, right?
Okay, I have it there now.
And then click on it to get rid of it when you're done.
Yeah, I'll wait for my turn then.
Okay, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah. I was, because we have a contract with the town of Lunenburg, I was at the Protective Services meeting, and the CAO at the time was the acting CAO, the former CAO for the municipality. Anyway, and they agreed to sign it at that point, and I understand signed it and sent it in. So Lunenburg was in favor of it, so I don't know what would have changed, but...
Like she said, she wasn't... I guess maybe she just needed to be... brought up to speed onto it, and she didn't realize it or didn't know about it. So she just had to go back and check it, right, I guess.
Right, okay.
That's my understanding anyway. And the Tanimal Home Bay didn't like the wording because it mentions the Municipal Government Act, and then down below it mentions the Rural Fire District Act. And some of them were incorporated under a different act when they were town. And then afterwards it mentions the Municipal Government Act. So
yeah,
we can't really, I couldn't find it. And I asked somebody else, look, we couldn't actually find where it states how the towns were actually incorporated. So we'll just do it the way we said. If they don't want to sign, if Mahone Bay doesn't want to sign off onto it, then we'll just exclude them, put a rider on for them later on.
And move along. Yeah, yes.
Okay. Get it done.
Can't be held up by them fellas. So, all right. Thank you, Chris. Air pack certification 4.3, turn oak gear safety update. Chris?
Is that Brian or me? Bert? So this was brought up by Brian originally on seeing if we could come up with ideas on, and I had sent an email out for people asking if they had any ideas on it from the committee side, which is what I was asked to do anyway. So there's nothing really in place for this yet. So when we get down to talking about the workshop, that may be an area where that can be moved off to, and that can be just, we can have the agenda items in place, and that would probably be a really good spot to talk about that, I think. We can brainstorm some stuff.
We're all together. We can hash that out and get a start on it.
That's my thought anyway, if you guys are in agreement with that.
Oh, sorry, Brian. I didn't see
that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make my comment on it. Well, I brought it up. It was when we did a workshop a number of years ago, it was one of the health and safety items that we talked about. And we've been just kind of talking about it at meetings and really haven't gotten down to it. And I think that, as Chris has mentioned on item number 8, we'll get into some discussion there about this thing and other things maybe. Okay.
Just to add to that a little bit, deer pack certification is going to be probably a low-hanging fruit because departments are doing them anyway, right? So
yes,
that's kind of a good one. But
yes, that's correct.
But we'll have to put something in place for it.
Right.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. 4.4, procurement of equipment for departments.
Okay, so at the last meeting, I was asked to talk or check on Canoe because a couple of counselors brought it back from one of the sessions they were to. So I did get some. I was able to talk to a person from the Canoe group, one of the management people there that look after things. And according to him, if you are a nonprofit organization and you're not making a profit like a private industry, private company, there's no. He went back. We talked today for a bit more, and he went back and checked with his manager, and he said no. He said fire department should be able to access that procurement site. So there's an application process for fire departments to put in an application to become a member, and there's no charge or no fees for it. And then there are 200 and what was the number he gave me? 223. Anyway, there's a little over 200 different businesses that they can get, or vendors that they can get, acquire stuff from.
Okay.
So the two areas of fire services, and he sent me a list today with a bunch on it, and the only ones that really I see on this list that would be fire-oriented would be Pierce is one for fire apparatus, and E1.
Okay.
And there was another one called Axis. I never heard of them before, but they're Canadian. What's the name of that company?
Maxi?
Yes, that's what it was.
Maxi Metal.
So they're Maxi Metal, yep.
Maxi Metal is Pierce, the Canadian okay. Pierce truck.
So those are the three. I should have known that, but I didn't. That's okay. Learn something every day. So those are some of the things that he came back with. And we'll go from there, I guess, to see where we need to do. So fire departments can actually log on to this and find out information on their own if they want.
Can you send out some information to me on that one there? I'd love to have that.
Yeah, I can send that out. And then you can also check with them to see what my understanding was when it said fire equipment and apparatus if you go on their website and look.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him about that today, and he said he didn't see why you couldn't buy the other things. Like I said, hose is a big one, bunker gear, PPE is another one, hose and those things. And he said appliances, and he said, yeah, that stuff that's all on just their list of things, but I don't see a supplier here unless it's somebody that I'm not familiar with that sells that.
Okay.
It could very well be somebody on that list. So I can send that email out to everybody If you guys are in favor of that, and I think it'd be a good thing for fire departments if they can utilize any of it to try to help, you know, reduce some of the costs.
I have no issue. I mean, it's up to the committee here, but
I think it's a neat idea, really.
If we can save a dollar or save anything,
they have over 5,000 members right now that purchase things from this group.
Okay. Well, that'd be awesome if you could send that out.
I'll send that out to
nobody
ever
against that. People putting it out.
I think
no,
it's all good.
Not at all.
Nope.
No.
Awesome. Number five, Lunenburg Regional Report. Ryan?
I'm raising my hand to speak, but I can't say anything because I was not at the meeting, Dean.
Actually, yeah, that's right. You weren't there, were you?
No, I was unable to attend. I had COVID.
Yes, and I didn't take many. I had some notes here. Chris, you got some updates here. Will I look? Because I wrote a few things down, I believe.
Speak again, Chris.
Yeah. You put me on the spot tonight, Brian.
Brian. Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
I'm just trying to think now something
because
I didn't take notes.
No, I didn't take many notes that night either.
Yeah, I'm not sure there were any, like, there was the, they were working at the conduct.
Just hang on a sec there, Brian. Chris got some in his office there.
All right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a whole lot we went dingo over, but I wasn't, I was kind of preoccupied doing a few things that night.
They were doing the code of conduct on the meeting before, so I don't know if that was a continuation there, Dean.
That wasn't finished yet. I think that's coming back up on our next meeting next week. That we're
yes.
Like, 2 weeks' time.
The executive, yeah. Yes.
Just give Chris a couple minutes here.
I hit Tom with my ball. I thought it was a squishy ball. You're not going to get back from here. I won't throw it anymore.
If you're going to get Reed, get him good. Yeah, we didn't do a whole lot.
Because here's the agenda from that meeting. So the agenda from that meeting was just approving the minutes. They talked, like, again, fire service security update, mutual aid, air pack certification, procurement for departments from the CNU group.
No, that's our...
Oh, dump it. Never mind. Forget it.
Okay.
My football.
That's why it looked familiar.
I just saw fire emergency services onto it. So you know what?
We don't have a report tonight. All right.
All right.
We'll have a double one next time.
All right. See, Tom, that retreat would be pretty helpful, right?
Yes. Yes.
New business, 6.1, volunteer intake application process.
And Randy bought this for us.
That's on the back side here. Randy?
Push
your button there. And
I need to push the button. And look over. Okay. I was approached by an acquaintance of mine who recently had applied to one of the local departments as a volunteer. And it turned out to be a rather bad experience. And without disclosing the department name or anything about the individual, I just like to seek some clarity on what the volunteer intake process is, if somebody could speak to that.
You can give a little if you want.
Yeah, you can, and I'll,
if you want to go ahead first, I mean, I can give my
my side of it.
Well, how we do ours is we have an application you fill out. You have a couple of references. We have to have a criminal background check. And now in the last couple of months, we're doing a child registry check as well. So once that's done, then the process just goes through to the committee and then gets voted on.
Okay. And what other criteria is there? Can you give me an example of what an application might be?
I can actually, I don't know if I got one here, but I can get you a copy of our application and forward it to you.
Okay. So do I understand that between across MODL, there isn't a universal application or a process?
No.
So okay. To my understanding to that, there is not.
Okay.
We don't have anything in place. So a lot of departments do their own kind of intake policies. Some have a little more lengthy than others. I don't know all the departments or how they all do it. I'm familiar with a few that I'm in contact with regularly, and like they say, they pretty much follow dean's departments. So they have an application that they fill out, references on it, experience, things like that, things that may make them a good volunteer firefighter, why they wanted to become a firefighter. And then there's also an interview process where you sit down and talk to the person so they understand what the fire department requires and how much time is required and effort is required to become a firefighter. And, so there are different avenues that utilize that. So after I read this, it kind of made me think a little bit that maybe that may be a recruitment and retention tool that maybe we could come up with something that departments all agree to. Maybe that would be a good discussion at a Lunenburg regional meeting. Is this something that they feel would be worthwhile? And I think it probably would be. After reading this, there isn't anything in place because fire departments are their own entities and they look after their own things. But if this is something that could be added to a recruitment intention thing where they have a standardized type intake policy and how things work, it may make it a little simplified for departments to utilize. That's just my own opinion.
Alex?
Thanks. Chris hit most of the points I wanted to cover. It's just to make sure that we highlight the fact that they're independent organizations, so they get to make the determination on who becomes a member and what process they use. So when we developed the recruitment and retention strategy, it was a common tool, but essentially it was a marketing approach. And then for the retention side, we have enhanced some of the services that we can provide from a pooled perspective. But to date, this committee hasn't broached the topic of a uniform sort of standard for what you're looking for in volunteers, which will be a much bigger discussion. Certainly one that we're interested in supporting if that's where the committee wants to go, but that's difficult given the structure.
So
every department may have a different outlook on what they're looking for as well. So it could be, and that can make it hard. Brian?
Yeah, I guess under recruitment and retention, though, I think that you could create kind of a document that they could maybe go by because, I would suspect that most of them do have something. And most of the things that they're all asking would be similar to all, I would think. So I think that that Chris's point about taking it to Lunenburg Regional would be one of a discussion there to see if they want us to bring it back to this committee and work at it, right? So, that certainly is my view on it at this point.
So we can bring it up to the next Lunenburg Regional meeting.
Yes, I would recommend that.
Okay. Reed?
In addition, Bridgewater does have a medical you have to fill out, and it clears you that. But we do have everything else in place.
So I guess one of the things after reading some of the material from MODL about mission and vision statements are about acting with integrity, respect, and kindness, and value the uniqueness and diversity of our communities. So MODL is funding a recruitment and retention policy, but based on what you've said, you're not sure how each department that you're funding, in a way, applies those different values.
The way, correct me if I'm wrong, the municipality, we're doing a recruitment retention program to get members to join. in their local areas. How the departments take them in from that point, that's, like we say, it's the departments, their way of doing to get them in. Mm. But we're MODL is trying to get them to that door, to get them to the departments.
But we're not sure what process is required to open the door.
Yes, after they get to that point, that's up, whatever the department has for their application process, that we don't know. Am I right, Chris?
What things might cause a department to reject a candidate?
It's
like in the case of this individual, the process of intake was not clear. It was not transparent. It was only discovered after the fact that there was a secret ballot or vote done on this individual. So and no response, no reason, no come back to us next year and improve something, or this wasn't right, or that wasn't right. So I guess I'm just saying that MODL is funding a recruitment and retention policy or a program. Somebody went to the door, knocked on the door, got an answer, but then got left by the wayside. So
the applicant should have been able to go back to the department and ask him why he was rejected. It's personal information, and that's to do with him. He should be able to ask that question. Okay. And they should be able to give it to him. Okay.
So as far as MODL's position currently is that here's a program that we're funding, and somebody comes and knocks on your door, and whether you open the door, that's up to you.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't meet their criteria. I don't know.
Yeah, and I
don't know. And that's something we can't speak on, because we don't know.
Alex wants to address.
Alex, you're dinging there.
Yeah, thank you. It's a little tough to try and extrapolate a municipal position just from those circumstances. But what I could tell you, if you're interested in that perspective, is that, you know, it's very important to the municipality to respect the autonomy of the individual fire departments. They're community volunteer organizations, and we're always careful to make sure that we're not stepping on those toes. Where this committee does work and decides that there's some uniform standards that they want to put in place, we're always happy to help with that. But we certainly we have an expectation that community groups are working to do their best to recruit volunteers, because we know that's a problem. If there are individual issues that we can perhaps address with our fire services coordinator, and that's also something that we can do. But the individual circumstances, and I appreciate that you haven't shared them, would be something we do in a more private setting.
Tom, you got your hand up there?
Yeah, the one we ran into a similar problem, and we went to Oak Hill, who has a really comprehensive, first of all, they have a code of conduct, which the person has to sign. They have a 5-page application form, which is a really comprehensive document. We've taken it, modified it, and sort of made it our own. But I think it's a very good point, because different departments have different probationary periods, which most departments have, so that you get a chance to see the individual, assess the individual, and see if there is a fit, and the other way as well. So I do think maybe at the workshop, this is something that we could discuss if people wanted to, because there's a lot of material out there. And if you're looking for something that's very comprehensive, look to Oak Hill. They would share it with you.
Thanks for that.
Brian?
Yeah, I think Randy is touching on a subject that you know, some fire departments that are here tonight represented know what they do, and others know somewhat of what others do. And I think we touched on it, that the fire services for the municipality. We should find out in just fact-finding, find out what they actually do, each of them, and see if they would share that information just as a fact-finding kind of thing. And maybe at some point ask them if they would be interested in having a standard document. If not, then fine. But at least find out what they're doing on a fact-finding mission, I think, would be beneficial to us, actually.
That's another item that we could bring up to the next Bloomberg.
As Tom has mentioned, we could bring it up in a different discussion.
Yes.
And talk more about that. So that's my opinion on that.
Okay. Anybody else? So did we answer your question for today?
Thanks for that. I think you've given me the best answer that you can. But I think that, as has been suggested by Tom and Brian, I think this is an item that definitely needs a little brush up, or at least find out where the different departments stand with respect to this.
Okay, perfect. Look, so this is going to be, we're definitely going to be touching this down the road again within, I would say, the next couple of months. 6.2, Department Personnel Policies, Diversity, Inclusive, Harassment.
So that was kind of the second part of what it is as we go on here.
Okay. Oh, Brian, sorry.
Yeah, this item certainly didn't come from me, but I think the point that I want to make on it, it's similar to what Randy has started in the application process and the item we just did. I think that we need to look at asking the question of what departments do with regard to diversity, inclusive, and harassment. We don't know that, and we really can't tonight have a good discussion on it, but it requires a discussion, and I think Randy having it here is a good thing to do, and it's going to be talked about to determine what our next steps will be on it, in my opinion.
So basically what we're saying is 6.1 and 6.2 is going to be a work together item, really. Am I correct?
That certainly would be my opinion, because I think that they're on here, they're important, and they need to be gone the next step.
So like the 6.2, the diversity, that's basically a code of conduct anyway. And I know there's quite a few departments that already do have one. We have one. I know Bridgewater has one. I mean, but what they're like, they might differ a little bit, but we can work on that together. So maybe bring
yes
on that workshop.
Yes.
All right. Anybody else want to speak on that one? Okay. Fire Service Coordinator's Report. What's that?
I gotta go up to the laptop.
Okay.
You should just say where it says share. It should just work that way. I'm hoping. You found it? Yay. And you're going to need to, I think I switched that mic off, Chris.
How can I unshare that? Because that's old.
Oh.
Never mind. All right. Yeah, I missed you out now. Thank you.
over here.
Oh, maybe podium mic, yeah.
Or that. Talking to that, Chris.
Right, let's see what happens here. Okay.
Is that going to work?
We'll ad lib.
Ad lib.
Arr, arr. Everybody, have to turn their speakers off. That has them on, please. Because we're going to get a lot of echo. Is everybody else?
Hello? Is that better? I'm on the microphone. Just from the podium.
Tom, can you mute your microphone, please?
Okay.
How's that? Can you hear now?
Oops.
How's that? Can you hear it? We'll try that. See how it works. Everybody can see the screen okay? All right. So council is going to see the same thing tomorrow. So I apologize that you're going to be bored with me twice, okay? So we'll see how it goes from there. So this is kind of a slide that I presented at the annual meeting. It kind of still has a play in it because of the COVID-19 in 2021 and 20. So this is kind of how life looked for fire services back then and pretty much everybody else. Limited response, masks, and all kinds of protocols in place to try to do what we needed to do, right? So my role hasn't changed any, and I interact with fire services more on a regular basis now, and fire chiefs and deputy chiefs and officers sometimes. He needs to take a break.
Tom, can you mute again?
Does that work?
That works.
How's that? Tom, it looks like you're signed in twice. Do you have two devices on?
No.
Did you happen to...
Why don't I go... I'll go out and come back.
You also may be getting feedback now because you have a microphone at the pointed towards the back of the room. So if someone sits at the podium and pushes the screen forward for Chris, and Chris sits in the seat that's not facing the speakers in the back of the room, you may get less feedback.
All right. We're getting through this technological advancement here for sure, right? I guess I got to learn some more, too, by the looks of it. I should know more, too, but I don't. So fire service awards, these were the awards that were handed out last year. So there was a significant awards handed out. There was 53 50-year awards handed out, which is an amazing milestone. And 45 years, there was 4 to 35s, 520s, and 320s.
What's the difference between 520s and 320s?
So one would... That's a good question.
I've only asked them.
So it should have probably been 8, because I know there was more than 520s given up last year. So that's one of my errors, I guess. I'm usually trying to be more careful when I put these together, but that's my error on that side. Station years of service were given out also last year, and there were some significant years of service given out there.
So, you know, it's just amazing to show the length of service and time fire departments have been in place. Okay, Sandra. And this is a topic from, like, kind of the parking lot or from the last workshops they've had, and these have been items that have been on there for a while now. And tonight we talked about some of those. So training was part and standard best practices and things like that were kind of discussed tonight at this meeting. And some of the things that have been talked about in the past also. Mental health, recruitment and retention in the EFAP program. So I mentioned that a little bit later in the slides, but I can kind of touch on that now. So the EFE program, the first year, had a little bit of uptake on people utilizing it, and I got an email yesterday. I asked for kind of an update on where we are today. So it's not like people breaking down the doors to get in at it, but there's an increase. I think there was six actual people that utilized it. One was for, like, life skills, and the other was for actual talking with somebody. So to me, if we get people that are starting to utilize it more, and every time we see a report, they're using more of it, I don't really see anything other than this, what they say, how many people do things or are using it. So it's nice to see the numbers are increasing. And to me, if we get four or five people that get something out of it and it helps them, and they tell somebody else that the system is working and it helps them, then it'll keep spreading up through the fire service, and that's what the hope is. And I know every time I go out, I try to mention how useful it is and that I myself have used it, and it's a very helpful program, and it does what we intend it to do if you utilize it. So to me, it works well. Bulk purchasing, we talked about that a little bit tonight also. Coordination with REMO, so there is a planning committee in place now. So that's some of the stuff that are trying to get better in place now, and we'll see where that goes from here. But I think that there's a move afloat to make that better, and there's all the players are at the table when they meet, so that's really nice to see. And Angela Hanhofer is really helping things move forward with that, so great. I think that's really great that we have her in place to help with that. Financial capacity and governance was another one. So those were like the lower end of the scale, so that's kind of where we are with those. And when we do the workshop, some of these things we put down like in the agenda for people to look at, and we can have some discussion around if they should still be there or which ones are our priority to work at. That's all right. You can do the next one, Sandra. Mutual aid agreement. Like I said, we mentioned that tonight already. So hopefully we'll be able to get that in place, and then that's looked after. Scene security, as soon as we get the signature and then get our signature on it, we'll be good to go. And leadership training has been taken really well. We did four different sessions with the same, there was two different groups, and we utilized them in two of the different training sessions. So one was kind of like an intro, and then the second one got a little bit more in depth on how to handle like difficult situations and how to listen and sit back instead of speaking first, kind of sit back and listen to how things are done. And it was really a good uptake on that. And we're planning another one either later in September or maybe October-y sometime for the third session for them to finish that off. And I've already had a couple of people request to see if there's some more of that training available, and there will be. So it's really nice to see that part of it's working. So for anybody that doesn't know, and when we started doing this, some of the things that I've talked with other people about, that the operational side of firefighting is the easy part. It's kind of like the muscle memory, and things just happen when you need to go do a fire or do an emergency. But it's the softer skills with, like, dealing with people on a regular basis, how to work with people in the station and how to interact and all those kind of things. So it's important for the leaders and officers to be able to have those skills. And it's something that not everybody learns, right? It all depends on where we are, where we work, and what we've done in the past. And, you know, if this can enhance their abilities to become better leaders in the fire service, then that's what it's all about. That's what we're trying to help them with, right? And from the feedback we got, I think it's something that was really needed. And they said that they were really glad that they were able to take part. So, okay, Sandra, before I ramble on too much. But that's really important to me and close to my heart that we can help like that, and I think it's important. So requirement for mandatory pump testing standards in place, and it's been utilized. And departments are now doing that. And from what I understand, next one, please. The joint pump testing area in Bridgewater with the underground tank has been utilized by more departments now, from what I understand, talking to different ones. And it's a lot safer and easier to utilize. And they've made some enhancements to the setup of the area. So it's easier for departments to hook into it and operate it. So there was a few bugs when it first got set up to get things in place that would make it easier and smoother. And the individual that's doing the pump testing there work with the departments to get that in place, and it seems to be working well. Okay. So I throw little things in here again to get a little smile on everybody's face. So on that one there, maybe someday they'll fill these boots. All right. Next one. Firefighter Safety Initiative, everybody goes home. So if anybody ever gets a chance, I throw these in here because it's really important for us to know and understand all these initiatives and that, you know, we go to these things and they can be inherently dangerous. And the idea and what we really work on is that when everybody goes to a scene, they all come back. And that's what it's all about, right? And if anybody has never been to the Fallen Firefighters site in Ottawa and you ever get up that way, it's really quite a thing to go see and be fired up to see what's there. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. And this year there was a helmet laid for Captain Ehrenberg of the Bridgewater Fire Department for his loss. And we all knew Todd and loved him, and it was nice to see that he's honored in that way. Next one, please. So some of the registration information we got from this year's registration, some of it came in a bit late this year, so it is what it is, but we worked through it. And we got the information. So registered medical first responders. So in 2020, there was 188 registered first responders. And this year, there's 171. In structural firefighters, there were 307. And this year's registration number showed 315. Active firefighters in 2020 said 597. And this year, the numbers came in at 583. Junior firefighters were 34 down to 31. Auxiliary members were 174 down to 125. Honorary members were 97 and now 103. So you can see where some of the numbers are moving, depending on the age of departments, people, and members, and auxiliary members. New personnel insurance policies in place, and the grant increased again this year, so that offsets some of the costs for departments that had less coverage, and now they have better coverage as a group. Self-contained, well, and while I'm on that subject, next year is when the policy renews after its three-year term, so we'll be going back with them to come up with new policies and pricing on that. Self-contained breathing apparatus, functional testing was done all but one, and that one department doesn't do interior fire attack, so they don't have breathing apparatus. It's for them. Pump testing, all done but one department. They didn't do it due to COVID-19, and they did it early in 2022. So we have to work with departments the best way we can. Fire department fundraising, so you can see that there was a pretty good increase, and I think the firefighter 50-50 and some departments coming back online with some of their fundraising events definitely helped. So it's always nice to see the abilities for them to do fundraising. Calls for 2021. Next one, please. So these are like the numbers that came off the call sheets, and I just kind of formulate them together. I don't get every little piece in there, so it doesn't add up to 100%, because if I put every little tiny, like some of the miscellaneous or some of the smaller ones, it's just not going to, you won't be able to read it because there's just too much in there. But I try to put as much in there as I can to give you a good understanding. So there was 1,029 calls in 2021. So even through COVID, departments were getting busier, because the year prior to that, they were considerably less than that, because medical calls are coming back online also, right? So with special protocols for departments when they were doing that. So the big ones, I guess, were structure fires. There were 30, so that's 3%, 183 MVCs, 22 vehicle fires. Medicals, there were 127, 74 miscellaneous, so there's some different things pushed into that one. Chimney fires, 3%, and there's a number there, but it's kind of, like I say, it gets kind of busy, right? There are 43 grass, brush, woods fires or campfires that were called in. Power poles, 29, and mutual aid calls are still pretty big at 336 mutual aid calls. So, and on the left-hand column, you see where the town of Bridgewater, town of Mahone Bay, and town of Lunenburg were for members and what they had for calls. So I see the town of Mahone Bay's number's not there. It must have got missed in the column, but theirs were in the 100 area too. So you see Lunenburg's members, and Town of Bridgewater has a lot more calls than a lot of departments do. And I looked at mutual aid calls too for them. So where they're not within our call volume, where they don't register with the municipality, they don't provide a contracted service to the municipality, I added their numbers in there. So they had 50 mutual aid calls outside into the municipality of Lunenburg, and they call departments into the town 3 times through the year. So they do play an active part in firefighting in our county also. And I know it's greatly appreciated by those who do call on them. Okay, Sandra. So these are the fire service outside of the normal area rates that departments have. So these are like grants and other monies that are in place now that the municipality provides. So the recruitment and retention budget, WC premiums, those fluctuate. I think this year they came in at 65 cents per $100 of income, and next year they're thinking that it's going to be 63, or that's their projection from WCB. So it's dropped. It looks like it's going to drop next year, which is nice to see those things. I think there were 2 active claims on WCB, so it does get utilized. Matching grants, so these are the matching grants that will be put in place in November for fire services this year. The group personnel insurance, and the total funding, when you look at all those numbers, is $264,303. So it's a pretty significant number that's going into fire services, other than area rates, to help them with different things that are provided for them. Okay, Sandra. Recruitment and retention ideas. So I know that the workshop was mentioned tonight, so maybe some things can be discussed there that maybe, and with Lunenburg Regional, maybe they help come up with some different ideas also. But these are the basic marketing tactics and things like that that Alex had mentioned that are things that can just go out to the general public to say, you know, members are needed. Can you go talk to your fire department in your local area to see if there's anything that you can do to help? There's all kinds of roles for everybody out there. So these are some of the things that are utilized for that. So there's marketing. I mentioned the Employee Family Assistance Program that now covers all volunteer fire services within the municipality and district of Lunenburg, and to me that's fantastic. Leadership training grant, recognition grant for banquets, barbecues, et cetera, for fire service members. And there's a new post-merger grant that happened last year, so that'll continue on until grants are relooked at again down the road, whenever that might be. Okay, Sandra. So again, fundraised by the departments for Nova Scotia, the 50-50 draws had a big piece in it. And the COVID things, you know, has had an effect on the fire departments, and I think, you know, they're still trying to come out of that. It affected members, it affected all kinds of things like training and all things like that. So the fire service took a big hit, not being able to get together and do a lot of things that they used to do. So if they're trying to come out of that the same as everybody else is right now and function and operate and do things like to try to get back to as best normal as they can. So I take my hats off to them for sticking with it and working through it like they did. Okay. And that's it. Any questions? So I think overall, you know, things are working pretty well. And the mutual aid system is alive and well. And it's kind of, you know, automatic mutual aid is being utilized more and more now than it ever has. And that's really good to see. And that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Chris.
We got nothing for in-camera tonight, do we? All right. Our next meeting, workshop to be held Monday, November 14th. Is that an evening session?
Could I speak to that maybe?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, that actually came from me the last little bit of time. I was looking at it, and I felt that the committee, this particular committee, has not had all of the members that are on this committee at an actual workshop. And I believe it's time that we get in a forum where we can talk about stuff in a way that it's not as formal as what we're doing. And, you know, just have a good discussion and put the planning and the goals and objectives of the committee, because some things have been done, a lot more, just some more came on the agenda tonight for what I think we should be doing. And I think that the regular meeting should be a workshop meeting. So that's why it's there.
I think the last workshop we did, Brian, that was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. Now it was in the old building.
Yeah, it
was.
A
long time ago.
Yeah, it was. So I'm suggesting that we use our regular meeting for that, and I leave it with the group to decide if they agree to that or not.
So that's what are we going to have for time for start for that one?
That certainly is a good question. Before we started earlier, we started at 6 and had lunch, dinner there, or supper, whatever you want to call it.
Yes,
in the past. And that would be a municipal decision if they want to do that. That would give us an extra hour on the front end.
Yep, we're more than happy to provide that.
All right.
Okay, perfect. So you say 6 o'clock is for start time, you think, Brian?
If that's okay with everybody that's there, it shouldn't be just my call, but I think that we need, I think, a bit more than, because starting at 7, 8 o'clock, we're going to be tired, stressed.
What's everybody's take on 6 o'clock? Everybody's good for?
I'm good with it. Sandra, will you send out an invitation if like sooner rather than later, yes, if possible? Thank you.
All right, 1,800 hours on the 14th.
I can't.
Perfect. And then our next regular meeting after that will be Monday, January 9th, 2023. Already.
I can't get my hand up. Can you listen to me again? I move we adjourn.
Motion.
Hey, that's
Jeremy.
My job. Hey, back up.
All right.
A seconder for Reed. There you go. Motion for adjournment, seconded by Reed.
Thanks, Dean. Great job.
Not a problem. Thank you.
See you all at the workshop. I'm all going right. For dinner.
All right. Take care.
Signing off.